My goodness, that's a great start to Steamin'. That's courtesy composer, trumpeter, and band leader Thaddeus Joseph Jones. You know him as Thad Jones, one of the famous Jones boys out of Pontiac, Michigan, leading his all-star cast. Hank Jones was a virtuoso on piano, that's his brother, and Elvin, another brother, was a master drummer. Steamin' is the first track on Thad Jones's 1957 album, After Hours, with Frank West on flute and tenor sax, Mal Waldron on piano, Kenny Burrell on guitar, Paul Chambers, one of my favorite bassists, on bass, and Art Taylor on drums. This is Lead Stories. I'm Eutrice Lead. Well, post-blizzard weather may be big news, but the political climate is our focus today. As you know, we're on the cusp of the February 1st Iowa caucus, and there will be five other early voting primaries next month. These will be the first electoral barometers in the 2016 presidential race, and they are consuming major media attention. One of the things consuming major media attention, and it began over the weekend, was the interview given by President Barack Obama to the chief political correspondent for Politico, the host of Off Message, Glenn Thrush, who had a 40-minute interview with the president on January the 22nd at the Oval Office. Very interesting interview. It's been cited quite frequently, I see, in media coverage over the weekend, and including up until today. But it was revealing for a very, very important reason, and I'd like to share pretty sizable clip from that 40-minute interview. And I'd like you to listen, as my mother would say, with your listening ears. It was very insightful. We'll come back after that and discuss what the president had to say about the 2016 presidential race. Of course, it is the race for his replacement after he leaves office next year. Well, listen very carefully, and then we will discuss what you have heard in the course of this excerpt of the interview. This is President Obama talking with Glenn Thrush, the chief political correspondent for Politico. And here we go. Well, they're having some technical difficulties there. We'll give it a shot again and see if we can get it reloaded. It was an interesting interview because, among other things, you were hearing not only from the president, but you were hearing also from the titular head of the Democratic Party. And I'm going to wait and see whether we have any success with it again, and I'll be apprised of that shortly. But in the meantime, this is very important as the political race shapes up, and we are being told or being conditioned to accept what the landscape is. What is a political landscape, and what are the voters supposed to be thinking just about now as it gets off and running in earnest? Okay, here's a president.
It's a little bit different, particularly on the Republican side. I mean, the tenor is just way, way different. Right. You ever wake up and, your whole campaign was about bringing rationality and comedy to, right, to the entire process. You ever wake up and say, what the hell happened?
I do, and obviously I spoke about this at the State of the Union. I am very proud of what we've gotten done over these last 7 years, and I'm excited about what we can do this last year. A singular regret for me is the fact that our body politic has become more polarized. The language, the spirit has become meaner than when I came in. And some of it just has to do with some long-term trends that have accelerated in terms of how the media is balkanized, gerrymandering, super PACs. But my bet, and I may end up being wrong about this, my bet is that the candidate who can project hope still is the candidate who the American people over the long term will gravitate towards. That early on in a campaign season, defining yourself by what you're not is the fastest way to consolidate a base.
Right.
But when you start getting later into the process,
people want
somebody who can give them an optimistic vision about where the country is going
to
be.
The events I was at in Iowa, the candidate who seems to be delivering that now is Bernie Sanders.
Yeah.
I mean, when you watch this, do you see any elements of what you were able to accomplish in what Sanders is doing?
Well, there's no doubt that Bernie has tapped into a running thread in Democratic politics that says, why are we still constrained by the terms of a debate that were set by Ronald Reagan 30 years ago? Why is it that we should be scared to challenge conventional wisdom and talk bluntly about inequality and be full-throated in our progressivism? And that has an appeal, and I understand that. I think that what Hillary presents is a recognition that translating values into governance and delivering the goods is ultimately the job of politics, making a real life difference to people in their day-to-day lives. I don't want to exaggerate those differences, though, because Hillary's really idealistic and progressive. You'd have to be in the position she's in now, having fought all the battles she's fought and taken so many slings and arrows from the other side. And Bernie, is somebody who was a senator and served on the Veterans Committee and got bills done. And so the
but it sounds like you're not buying the sort of the easy popular dichotomy people are talking about, where he's an analog for you and she is herself.
I don't think that's true. I think that what is if you look at both of them, I think they're both passionate about giving everybody a shot. I think they're both passionate about kids having a great education. I think they want to make sure everybody has health care. I think that they both believe in a tax system that is fair and not tilted towards the folks at the very top. I think Bernie came in with the luxury of being a complete long shot,
right,
and just letting loose.
Right.
I think Hillary came in with the both privilege and burden of being perceived as the front runner, and as a consequence, where they stood at the beginning probably helps to explain why.
Do you feel like it's a little
the
bit
language
unfair.
Sometimes is different?
Do you feel like it's a little bit unfair to her, to some extent, the way that this has been stacked?
Yes. But I think that Hillary's tough, and she has been through this before, and she could anticipate it. If you are a front runner, then you are under more scrutiny, and everybody's going to pick you apart. And if you're
and by everybody in 08, you meant you.
But if you think about it, after I won Iowa,
right,
then suddenly things are flipped.
That's right.
I go to New Hampshire and, Obama's looking kind of cocky. We need to knock him down. And the voters themselves start doing that because they're saying to themselves.
That's Axelrod's theory of the case.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I still remember that day we lost Iowa, the one time that our data was completely wrong.
Right.
It was the only time the entire campaign where we were just way off. Polls had us up 10.
Right.
Internal polls had us up 10, and we got beat soundly.
Right.
And I remember saying to those guys, you know what? This is probably a good thing. This is how our democracy should work, because some untested kid should not be able to just win one caucus and suddenly he's the nominee. And the voters, in their wisdom, said, yeah, what? We've got to run this guy through the paces a little bit. And the press did the same thing. And so you end up having that kind of process.
And that's where
process.
And Bernie, of course, is an untested 74-year-old kid, right?
Yeah.
So to what extent do you think it's appropriate for that process to be aimed at him right now?
Well, he hasn't won anything yet.
Right.
I think that there's always just a rhythm to this thing. I think that if Bernie won Iowa or won New Hampshire, then you guys are going to do your jobs, and you're going to dig into his proposals and how much they cost and what does it mean and how does tax policy work. And he's subjected then to a rigor that hasn't happened yet, but that Hillary is very well familiar with. And
The rigor of absorbing that, or the rigor of imposing that upon an opposing candidate? Because one of the things that's striking, one of the things that was really striking being out there in Iowa was, and I was with her for 18 months in 2007 and 2008, the Bataan Death March.
Right.
So being with her, the same pointed tone in terms of the criticism is emerging on Sanders. It's practically the same language. It's really interesting.
Right.
Did that work? Do you think it will work in terms of drawing contrasts?
Well, here's my view.
Yeah.
That whoever the nominee is going to need the other person's supporters.
Right.
And I think it is entirely legitimate to draw sharp contrasts where there are contrasts. And it is important, however, to maintain a tone in which people feel as if you're playing fair. And I think Hillary's done that so far. And I think that the truth is, in 2007, 2008, sometimes my supporters and my staff, I think, got
how dare you
they too were huffy about what were legitimate questions she was raising. And yeah, there were times where I think the media probably was a little unfair to her and tilted a little my way in the in calling her out when she was tough and not calling some of our folks out as much when we were tough in ads. So
the famous thing, like on the Saturday Night Live thing, where she was, you know, that great skit that you, that her, remember that thing where she pushed that around?
Yeah. I think. Look, I've gotten to know Hillary really well. And she is a good, smart, tough person who cares deeply about this country. And she has been in the public eye for a long time, and in a culture in which new is always better.
Right.
And, you know, you're always looking at the bright, shiny object that people haven't seen before. That's a disadvantage to her. Bernie is somebody who, although I don't know as well,
right,
because he wasn't obviously in my administration, has the virtue of saying exactly what he believes, great authenticity, great passion, and is fearless. His attitude is, I got nothing to lose.
Right.
I'm here to help move the country forward. And so I think it's a healthy dynamic. The relevant contrast is not between Bernie Sanders and Hillary Clinton. The relevant contrast is between Bernie and Hillary and Donald Trump and Ted Cruz and the vision that they're portraying for the country and where they want to take us and how they think about everything from tax policy to immigration to foreign policy.
And that
gap is as wide as I've ever seen. You think about it. When I ran against John McCain,
right,
John McCain and I had real differences,
right,
sharp differences. But John McCain didn't deny climate science. John McCain didn't call for banning Muslims from the United States. John McCain was a conservative, but he was well within the mainstream of not just the Republican Party, but within our political dialogue. And that's where ultimately any voter is going to have to pay attention, is the degree to which the Republican rhetoric and Republican vision has moved not just to the right, but has moved to a place that is unrecognizable.
Where does it end? I mean, the thing, you're about civility, and your first inaugural, I recall. What do you think this Trump thing really means, and where do you think it ends, and how do you think it stops?
Well, my hope, not just for me or the Democratic Party, but for the Republican Party and for America, is that this is an expression of frustration, anger, that folks like Trump and to some degree Cruz are exploiting. It's real within the Republican Party and the Republican base. But that after this venting, Republican voters will settle down and say, who do we want actually sitting behind the desk making decisions that are critical to our future? And I've always said, I want a healthy two-party system where there's vigorous debate, but both parties are contributing to a constructive.
Okay. There was the president saying some very, very interesting things, which apparently have not yet made the headlines, although they've been covering, quote unquote, covering this story for about at least 2 days now. So I ask you, there's so many things that were said in just that short clip. It's a 40-minute interview, but we heard about 20 minutes of it, about half of it there, having to do with the president's view on the fast-developing 2016 presidential campaign, which, of course, as of February the 1st, will be in full gear, February 1st being the Iowa caucus. And then we have, on February 9th, the New Hampshire caucus. Then we have the primary in New Hampshire. Then on February the 20th, we have two elections in Nevada and South Carolina, the Democratic caucus in Nevada and Republican primary, if you will, in South Carolina. And then we have on the 23rd of February, the Republican caucus in Nevada, and on the 27th of February, the Democratic primary in South Carolina. So February is a very high-stakes month, and this interview, in which the president says some rather interesting things, is quite revealing. I would ask you to share with us what you heard. What is the significance of what the president has said? Any number of points. Pick a point and tell us what we are supposed to understand by what the president said. Too many times, you know, we listen for just what is said. And you know, here, this is the exercise. We always listen for the various levels of meaning. What overwhelmingly is of great significance in what the president has just said? 888-874-4888. This is your comprehension, political comprehension test. You know, we go through this all the time. This is part of our media literacy. The president has just spoken. You can tell the tone was quite casual. Interestingly, the president does not and has not had a record of giving access to non-mainstream media, certainly not non-white media. He's just not that available. But to the extent that he speaks to the non-mainstream media, he's quite amenable and quite affable in this discourse that we just listened to. But there's a major, we should get about at least the top 5 points here. This is a big thing. And, of course, it seems to have escaped mainstream media's attention. I don't know why, but I keep getting these stories where I hear something and I seem to be the only one hearing it. I don't know why. We have gone down this road so many times, especially with President Barack Obama. He would say something and then the reports that we get are markedly different from what we have heard. Okay, well, let's start in Washington, D.C. with Free. You're on the air.
Hi, thank you for the opportunity.
Thank you for calling. Did we lose him? Free, you're on the air.
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes.
Hello?
Yes, I'm hearing you.
So when you reminded us that he's not only the president, but he's also the titular head of the Democratic Party, the question was about Bernie Sanders, but he had to bring in Hillary Clinton in his answer. And he basically alluded to the fact that Hillary has more, I guess, experience and would be a better choice because of her experience, and gave various reasons as to why, you know, Bernie was maybe more of an ideological choice, whereas Hillary would be more practical. So he really, you know, showed us where the party leadership is pointing, and as we also learned earlier with the, you know, with the whole scandal behind the emails and everything that was blocked from Bernie, that's where the Democratic leadership wants us to go, is or wants the people to go, is towards Hillary Clinton.
Therefore, the president seems to be saying what or doing what?
He is encouraging people to look at Hillary as being a better potential presidential candidate or leader than Bernie, because Bernie is an ideologue and maybe not able to be elected, and also someone who doesn't, quote-unquote, have the experience of taking on the tough fights.
And therefore, what?
Therefore, he should be elected, and therefore he's not the candidate that they should choose.
Okay, and therefore what?
I'm not sure what you want me to...
The word is, this is as close as you could get from the president of an endorsement. Does it sound like
exactly
that to you?
Oh, yeah, very clearly. Yeah. I mean, if you listen, yeah, because, I mean, he made several distinctions between the two of them, and whenever he spoke of Hillary, it was in terms of her leadership and ability, and Bernie was kind of spoken of as, like you said, like someone who's an ideologue, the new guy. Everyone loves the new guy. You know, the unproven factor. And yeah, he was a senator. He's voted on some bills, but you know, she's really been the one that has taken on the tough stuff.
Now, what is significant about this? You get serious points here today. Here is the titular head of the Democratic Party. You missed one point, but somebody else may get it. But here's the thing.
It's a democracy, and so the people should be deciding, not the party leadership. You know, if it's really a democracy, then he shouldn't really be pushing people. He should be actually reflecting. If this Bernie is in the lead, you know, from what the polls say, so why would you be endorsing another candidate at this point? It really is showing us that we don't really have a democracy, that there is, you know, definitely bias within the party structure, and people should be aware of that.
In particular, because the president so far, has he not said that he's not taking any sides and he's being neutral like Switzerland? He's not favoring one person over the other, and all of this. When you contrast the tone of his response in this interview to his previous position, what do you get?
He's definitely taken a side. And, you know, he's the master of doublespeak, Utrecht. You got to remember, he's a Nobel Peace Prize winner who selects people to kill by drones every Tuesday. So, you know, you can't get any more duplicitous than that.
Well, you started us off really strong, and I thank you. Major, major, major points. Thanks so much for contributing and getting us started today. From New York, Ali, what points did you pick up that haven't so far come through?
Hi, Utrecht. The first thing that I picked on is I don't think he was talking about the same woman that we know. I mean, this woman, Hillary, that he was describing, he said at one time she projects value and deliver, and she will be able to deliver the goods. Okay? So right there, I'm just, like, confused because he's not talking about the woman that ran, that he ran against. And another thing, when he talks about Bernie, it's almost like he's talking about himself. Because he talks about, yeah, he's talking what he's saying what people wanted to hear, but at the end of the day, he would never deliver. So to me, he's talking about himself. Yes, we can. And all this propaganda that he came out to people, and he didn't have, and another thing is, he didn't have any experience. So he's talking about Bernie. He, oh, yeah, he's in the Senate, but he doesn't have any experience. So I'm just thinking about, he's just saying that Bernie is just lying, giving people what they wanted to hear, like what he did. But at the same time, promoted this woman who has, she has value, and she will be able to deliver to us, to all of us. So now he is, like you were asking the gentleman who just called, is like, yeah, he's endorsing her. And he's giving, it's like he was talking about the media. How the media, oh, my God, but she, how the media gave, tilted his way, but she's a tough cookie. He didn't want to use that word, but remember, that's the word that they use against women. She's a tough cookie. And she will be able to handle it with Bernie. So this woman is tough. She has values, and she will be able to deliver.
I agree. Now, Ali, here's a major point that I was hoping that you would have touched on. How many candidates, Democratic candidates, are there in the race?
That I know, it's supposed to be three, but one has been almost eliminated. And it's only two. You either pick A or B. So you, I'm giving you A. And he only talks about two.
No, there's still three.
Yeah, there's still three. But if you notice, he only included two candidates. So
okay. Now I ask you, what do you think about the head of the Democratic Party who refuses to recognize that there are three candidates? He speaks only of two. What do you make of that?
What I make of that is he already eliminated the bronze, and it's only gold and silver. So the girl has the gold, and
he eliminated the bronze. It's only a gold and silver choice. Martin O'Malley is out. As far as this president is concerned, he's not. He didn't even mention it. It's. Yeah. I'm hearing this, and I'm saying to myself, "Oh, wait a minute! Am I the only person who has recognized that the president is speaking in a 40-minute interview, and Martin O'Malley does not even enter the first, not even the first half of the interview, and recognized as a Democrat running also in this presidential race?" That is amazing, considering that O'Malley's political career began in 1999, before Hillary Clinton and before Bernie Sanders. I mean, if you're talking about longevity and ability to deliver the goods, I'm not endorsing anybody here. I'm just saying, if you're going to have a discussion as the titular head of the Democratic Party, when you're supposed to be encouraging people, you're taking a position, you're not endorsing this one or that one, well, at least, I mean, make mention that the Democratic Party overall has better choices or do some kind of thing, and also make reference to the other guy. But he doesn't. So what do you make of that?
What I am, the one thing and one thing only, this man going to be pushing this woman is, he already, remember, in 2008, that was the path that he made. He made a path in 2008. Yes, I'm going to run, and that was the path that he made with the forces to be. that he will endorse this woman no matter what. And what, and even though the Republican, all of them are bad, and I mean, it's not even worth it to go out there and vote. The fact of the matter, at least they have candidates. What do we have? We have two candidates. It's only A and B. And mm-hmm. look how he eliminated the third one. So there is no more candidates. And nobody will... Yeah, it's very interesting. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Let's go to Los Angeles. DX, you're on the air.
Hello, Yatrice. How are
Hello.
You?
Hello. Fine, thank you.
Good.
What's your
Good.
Observation from what we have just heard?
Well, the previous callers took one of my observations, and you did as well, was that he totally didn't mention O'Malley at all. I mean, so I noticed that. But... there's two other things that I got from this. One thing that he said out of his mouth, and then another thing he sort of implied. What he said, he actually called Hillary Clinton a progressive. Did you hear that?
What's wrong with that?
By anybody's standards, she is no progressive. She's hawkish. She's terrible. And he said that she believes in some of the same values or something like that about... the rich people paying more taxes. No, she doesn't. She's all in the pocket of Wall Street. So that was two outright lies. And then the other thing I noticed was that he was, this man is so smooth still that if I didn't know what I know, I might even believe him because he's a used car salesman. This right here.
Hey, don't insult used car salesmen.
Exactly. This right here was nothing more than a... This is a political ad, literally, for Hillary Clinton. And I wouldn't doubt that excerpts from that will be used in some of her ads once the primary
well,
is over.
You know, he omits O'Malley, and the chief political correspondent for Politico, a very political guy, never says, Mr. President, why did you omit Mr. O'Malley? What has he done to you?
But the last thing, Yatrice, that got me, which he was so smooth about and intricate with, was the way he was condescending to Bernie's supporters. When he said, basically, Hillary knows to be realistic about what we can do. What he was doing is slapping Bernie's supporters in the face. Oh, and the other comment he made... there's some support for that when he was talking about Bernie's progressive ideas. I can understand there's some support for that. No, it's overwhelming support for that and hardly diminishing support for Hillary Clinton. This is the way this man plays with words. There's overwhelming support for that. He said, oh, there's some support for that. So to me, that's condescending. In other words, he's tapping Bernie's supporters on the head saying, oh, you little people, you don't know what you're doing. Just relax and vote for Hillary. So that's what really pissed me off right there.
But he also said, and he made it very clear, that he's aware that whoever the nominee is, and he, of course, was pushing Hillary, he said, would need the supporters of the other person, the second best, the silver candidate, right?
And this is
That's
how,
what he said. So he's very, very, very aware of what he's saying. And I'm amazed that we get no real definitive analysis of what the president is saying. The head of the Democratic Party disses a member, a full-fledged member, and certainly, again, I'm not championing Martin O'Malley here, but you would think, I mean, you are the head of the party. The last thing you want to do is to behave like the Republicans who are cutting up your Democrats, right?
Right.
You wouldn't want to join that. But he does. He just obliterates O'Malley, saying, look, he's not even on the radar.
This guy right? is such a... con artist. I mean, the two things we just combined together, what I said and what you said, I mean, those are very, very like, I mean, it's Orwellian. It's like he put those two together purposefully, where he basically put down Bernie's supporters, and then he said the other one is going to need the other one's supporters. That was put there purposely. And those two were linked together, even though they were like some seconds apart. He did that on purpose. This man is so sly and cunning. But, yeah, those are my points.
Well, considering it's coming again from the head of the Democratic Party, what does this now do to you in your political thinking and your political choices this year?
To me, I haven't changed. I've always said that I'm not going to vote federally for any of these guys. I'm pretty sure that Hillary's going to go ahead and get the nomination anyway, because it's all set up, and vote federally doesn't make any difference, so I'm not going to vote federally at all.
All right. Thank you, DX. White Plains is next. Sal, you're on the air.
Hello. How are you?
Fine, thank you. What's your thinking today based on what we've just heard?
Yes, I've been listening to some of the other comments. They were spot on. I'd like to just simply say it's like Barack Obama is talking as if Hillary Clinton had a gun pointed to his head. That's exactly it.
What makes you say that?
Well, because of all the other comments that were said. It's like he didn't recognize O'Malley. He's basically endorsing Hillary Clinton. And who's the head of the Democratic Party now? The committee, she's been, what's her name again? She's
Debbie Wasserman.
Yeah. Debbie, I mean, right from day one, she was like, it's Hillary. It's the coronation of Hillary. There's a gun to your head, and speak some nice things about Hillary. You know what I'm saying? Because there is a gun to his head. It's a political gun to his head.
Now, why do you think, in the course of this interview, the portion that we've heard, why do you think the chief political correspondent doesn't really challenge the accuracy of certain statements and the glaring omission, which to me is a story right there? It's a twofer. The president shuts out one of his own candidates as worthy of support and consideration. He just basically disses the man and dismisses the man, and then seems to be throwing his weight toward Hillary Clinton, which is something that should trouble anybody, because he had taken a position that he wasn't going to be endorsing anybody. But everything he says said so far in this interview is an overwhelming endorsement of Hillary Clinton. And at the same time, he seems to be diminishing the strength of Bernie Sanders. When he says things like Bernie Sanders, you know, people always would tend to look at the bright, shiny object. And basically, that's insulting voters and their intelligence and the choices between.
Exactly.
You know, what do you make of Obama's tone and his attitude in this interview?
Exactly that. And he was the bright, shiny object in 2008. I mean, that was motivating the masses, and yes, we can. And we got a 74-year-old doing it now. He's not making that parallel at all. He's diminishing it. It's a joke. And the guy that's interviewing him has already made the foregone conclusion. And even your last caller is saying, oh, yeah, it's probably going to be Hillary. I don't think so. I think it could definitely turn. It could definitely turn.
Well, thank you very much, Sal, for your call today. Yes. From New York, Patrika, you're on the air.
Good afternoon, Eutrice, and good afternoon to the PRN family.
Oh, Patricia, this is.
Yes, this is Patricia. Okay.
All right, thank you.
You know, the president has a way of only coming to black people when he needs us. And here now he is the progenitor for Hillary Clinton. Now, you're absolutely correct. The last thing I read this morning, he said that he was not going to be endorsing anyone. So this interview that you shared took me by surprise. So I'm saying to myself, 760 days before he met with the Congressional Black Caucus, the individuals who are the main representatives for the people who overwhelmingly elected him, and then he doesn't come to them again until he needs him. He only interfaces with black people when he needs them, or when now the person who is sending him out to be the vanguard needs us. And he has become a prostitute for the Democratic Party. Clearly, his loyalty is to the party. It's not to black and brown people. It's to the party. And the party from the very beginning. You know, I look at these last two so-called debates that they had. The last one was on a Saturday night when everybody was watching football. And then, no, Sunday night when everybody was watching football. And then the earlier one was on Saturday night when everybody's at the movies. Because clearly they don't want Bernie Sanders to have any exposure, because the coronation of Hillary was supposed to be a non-event. It was expected. It was supposed to go off without any interruption. And guess what? They've been interrupted. Now, I continue, as I have said to you before, I am not voting. However, I will have to make a qualifying statement now. I will do anything to interfere with Hillary. I will do anything to interfere with Hillary. So I will probably pull the lever for Bernie to interfere with Hillary. I don't care if people feel that she's going to be the nominee. I'm going to do everything in my power to put roadblocks in her path.
What does this say? I mean, it couldn't be any clearer, it seems to me. I'm reacting now as a reporter. If I were in that room interviewing the president and he said these things, I would certainly have brought him back to reality and had him address the dichotomy between what he said and what he was saying in the course of the interview, which seemed to be completely at odds with each other. I would certainly have asked him about his glaring omission of a Democrat, and this is as politics goes. Again, I'm not any fan of any one of them, but I mean, just on the basis of what the facts are. Here's a guy who has been elected as the mayor of Baltimore in 1999, serving until 2007, and governor from 2007 to 2015. Certainly he merits some degree of legitimacy as a candidate, as a Democratic candidate running under the Democratic banner. What's the reason for omitting him so glaringly? I would certainly have asked the president that. What do you make of the fact that both the president and the political correspondent seeming to be at ease with just letting it slide that O'Malley just doesn't exist?
Well, from Obama's viewpoint, he is following directives. Do as I say do. And from the reporters, from the reporter's viewpoint, you don't want to ruffle Obama's feather because you want continued access. And so because your goal is to have continued access, but not to report truth, your goal is to have continued access so you don't create any confusion. You don't ruffle anybody's feathers. So I can come back again.
What do you make of the criticism that the president makes in the course of this interview about the Republicans behaving so badly and his very smooth bad behavior?
What can I say about my brother? What can I say about him? You know, we can't claim them all, you know? You know, that old saying, you may be my color, but you ain't my kind? We can't claim them all. He was never ours. We thought he was. We made the mistake of thinking he was. He was never ours. There's nothing we can do about that.
What does this do? You said you will do now. You modifying your previous position, which was stick you with a fork because you're done, to I will do anything at all to interrupt Hillary Clinton's ascendancy. Are you sticking with that for the moment, or are you about to do yet another change?
Oh, no. I'm done. On some level, I do believe that Hillary will probably ultimately be the nominee, so I'm done at that point. I'm done. but I'm going to try and put some serious roadblocks in her path.
Okay. Well, thank you for your call today.
Okay, thank you now.
Thanks a lot. I bring this to your attention because, number one, it's not getting discussed anywhere. And they're talking about the big interview, and it's been bandied around a bit. This was supposed to be it's a big scoop, I guess, for Glenn Thrush. But the story here, it seems to me, is A, the president, in fact, has made an endorsement. B, as the head of the Democratic Party, he seems also to be joining the Republicans in carving up the Democratic Party by attacking, through omission, by attacking the possible vibrant candidacy of at least two Democratic candidates, Bernie Sanders and Martin O'Malley. I find that just stunning. Number three, the president seems to be taking this whole process of his role rather casually. And I agree with the observation that the president is, in fact, a shill for Hillary. The party is behind Hillary Clinton. They're pushing Hillary and breaking all the rules and doing all kinds of underhanded things in order to sustain her candidacy. Patricia made a really important point about the fact that this president, however, also has been acting consistent with his history. And his history is he has been the point man for Hillary Clinton for a long time and comes to the African-American and Latino communities, by the way, as the person who is going to be her front man. This is the same person who literally garnered a coveted post in his cabinet for which she was not at all qualified. Her qualifications were that she was married to that guy, you know, the one with the peccadilloes. And that was her qualification for being Secretary of State. The African-Americans who have occupied that post and others who have occupied that post had to walk in there with serious credentials. She got it literally as a concession. She got to be senator as a concession. She walked out of the White House and walked into the U.S. Senate. That was a gift of the Democratic Party. We've discussed here the role Barack Obama played, although she cut him up to shreds when they were running in 2008. Cut him to shreds. And still, it was clear that he owed them something. He owed the Clintons something. And maybe this role that he plays now as a person to come to the community, quote unquote, and to come to Democrats and seem to be endorsing this woman who I call the Bonnie of the Bonnie and Clyde team of the Democratic Party with her husband Bill, I'm amazed, and not really. You know, I've covered media itself and the sleazy role it has been playing. Here we see a conjoining of effort, both the media and the president and the party, put it in the equation as well, all are like-minded. It's Hillary. Interesting. Thanks for joining me today. I hope this just wakes us up a little bit as to what the state of play is in the process that's supposed to be democratic, free, and fair elections. Stay tuned. Coming up next, the Global Research News Hour. You can reach me at leadstories@gmail.com and let me know how this program struck you today. A pleasure and a privilege always to be in your company. See you tomorrow. Bye-bye.